T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
In October, it's supposed to be more exciting, right? It's supposed to move a little faster, increase the heart rate a bit when we get to the baseball postseason, except I kind of feel like, considering how bad some of the bullpens have been in Major League Baseball this season, we are in for a record number of pitching changes. I could be wrong. I hope I'm wrong. But I feel like there's going to be more strategery than ever on display in the month of October. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence here on CBS Sports Radio. Thanks so much for tuning in. You can find me on Twitter, A-Law Radio, or a lot of you, even with photos, are weighing in on the Facebook page about your favorite things when it comes to this time of the year, meaning the season of autumn. And I recognize that not everyone around the country lives in a region where you get the cooler weather. Can I tell you that's one of the reasons I love living in the Northeast or north of the Mason-Dixon line? Because I love the four seasons. I love the cold. I love the changing of the leaves on the trees and the fact that they fall off the trees and that you get the stark vision of late fall and winter. I adore snow, and so does my dog. And growing up in New Hampshire, I've always been used to four seasons. And so it's funny, I was having a conversation with a friend of mine who lives in Los Angeles, and he was talking about how much he loves the fact that he never has winter. But I pointed out to him he doesn't really have fall. And he's like, I know, it stinks. So fall is a beautiful time of year if you live in one of those places where you do have the yellow and orange and red leaves on the trees. It also means you have to rake or use a leaf blower, which, oh my gosh, that's one of my least favorite things about the fall is the noise of leaf blowers in my neighborhood. It's nonstop, nonstop. So I only use a leaf blower in my very small front yard. But I rake and bag everything in the backyard, which is good exercise. I don't enjoy it. I procrastinate it, but it's good exercise. So what are your favorite things about fall? We're asking you on Twitter or Facebook, and you can also give us a call, 855-212-4227. One of my favorite things is the month of October and marching our way toward the World Series. And now that we're just days away from October and we're so close to seeing the full baseball postseason picture. Baseball. Maybe that's what the commissioner, Rob Manfred, would like to rename it. He's all about speeding up the pace of play. We could call it Paceball. Or I'm just an idiot. We're inside the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loan Studios. Millions of Americans finance the home of their dreams with their help, and they can help you too. Rocket Mortgage, push button, get mortgage. So in the postseason, there's no pace to it at all. But we're getting there. There's still a lot to be decided. We have individual home run races. We've got MVP chases. And then, of course, we've got the team picture. Here's what we know. We know that the Yankees, the Astros, the Braves, and the Dodgers are all division champions. And we also know that we've got a team back into the postseason for the first time since 2015.
The two-strike pitch with two outs, a swing and a fly ball center field. Here comes a Rosarena. He makes the catch. A Redbird winner. The Cardinals are going to play in October. The final at Wrigley Field in a four-game sweep, 3-2, all one-run victories.
We want to make sure that we appreciate what we've accomplished and not take it lightly. We're in the postseason, but, you know, we got our, you know, sights set on clinching this division. That's where we're heads at. But, you know, we had a nice toast about it and, you know, felt good about it. And now we move forward.
What an incredible accomplishment for the Cardinals. A four-game sweep at Wrigley Field against their bitter rivals, the Chicago Cubs. All four of those games were one-run margins. And I don't remember all the specifics, but I know that in each one, the Cubs had an opportunity to win and gave up runs late, even as we're talking about bullpens. But the pitching for the Cardinals has been incredible, and they're on some kind of tear. They've now won six in a row, if you include Monday's victory. Paul Goldschmidt in his return to the desert against the Arizona Diamondbacks, and he had a two-run home run there at Chase Field. Yadier Molina also had a two-run shot, and you can tell they really like this winning. So the St. Louis Cardinals now have a magic number of three to clinch the NL Central, but they are in the postseason. No matter what happens from here on out, they've already made it, at least as a wild card, for the first time since 2015. And they've still got the Brewers hot on their heels. So the Brewers have won eight of their last 10, and they're 3.5 back in the NL Central. And the wild card gets all kinds of crazy. So in the National League, you had the Nationals, maybe making D.C. sports fans feel a little bit better about the plight right now with the Redskins 0-3. But the Nationals won on Monday night, which means that they have a half game lead over the Brewers, who, if I'm not mistaken, were idle on Monday. And right now, those are your two wild card teams. The Cubs have dropped six straight. They did not play on Monday. The Mets did play on Monday and lost. And so the Mets are fading and right now 99.5% eliminated, though not mathematically. So you do have a couple of teams that are still hanging around. But here we are in the final week of the regular season, and it's dire for any of these teams who are on the outside looking in. It's After Hours here on CBS Sports Radio. In the American League, the Athletics have a game and a half edge over the Rays, who won against the Red Sox on Monday night. And so they split that tie with the Indians, and the Rays now have that second wild card spot. The Indians are a half game back. And as you can imagine, so it's those three teams for two spots in the American League wild card. And as you can imagine, it's tense. I feel like it's a weapon. It's an advantage for these teams who have been competing for their playoff lives going back the last month, even the last month and a half. The A's put on a bit of a run. They put together a bit of a run to make it a little tighter in the AL West. But the Astros have been so good that they've had to set their sights on the wild card instead. And they've continued to play really well. They've won eight of their last 10, and the A's actually are at 94 wins. And don't look now, but the Tampa Bay Rays are at 93. Cleveland's at 92. So again, these teams have been in playoff mode for weeks now, recognizing that they had to separate themselves from the pack or they were going to be on the outside looking in, like the defending World Series champion Boston Red Sox. However, catching the Astros atop the AL West proved to be a challenge that was too much for the A's.
Now the 0-1. And that's popped up, third base side, playable for Toro, over by the bag, now in foul territory, makes the catch, and the Astros are champions of the American League West. For a third straight year, the Astros win the AL West and head it to the postseason.
That's the call with Robert Ford on the Astros Radio Network. It was some kind of a cool celebration for the Astros in their clubhouse after the fact. If you have not seen the post-game speech by A.J. Hinch on Sunday, in fact, if you would like to retweet it from our show account, Chris, it was really cool. Very inspirational. This is a team that won a World Series, the first in their franchise history a couple of years ago. And now here they are with this incredible pitching rotation that features Justin Verlander, now at 20 wins, the first in Major League Baseball to get to 20 wins. But in addition to that, they've got Gerrit Cole, who's also had a historic season. Zach Greinke that they brought in at the trade deadline. Their bullpen is one of the better ones in baseball. And while there's incredible competition out there, certainly the Yankees bats, as you can imagine, they might have something to say about the Astros. And also thinking about the Twins, and then even in the National League, once they get to that point, it's been an awesome season for the Astros. And because they're a team that is built to win in October, anything less than a World Series appearance would be a massive disappointment. As I mentioned, Verlander leads the majors with 20 wins, but Gerrit Cole is second, tied with Eduardo Rodriguez and Domingo Herman, who right now the Yankees are anticipating moving forward without their top pitcher, their top starter, because he's being investigated for domestic violence. And you may have heard that story at the end of last week, but the Yankees are anticipating the playoffs without the guy who's been most reliable for them in their starting rotation. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence here on CBS Sports Radio. So it's been kind of cool to see these storylines play out on the field. And even as we get to the end of September, there's this great anticipation for the second season and what's to come. But you also know that we're closing the door on some big names, some pieces of history in Major League Baseball. For instance, Bruce Bochy, we have known, is retiring at the end of the year. And I'm so thankful that he got his 2,000th win. And I just think for the players in that Giants clubhouse, that had to be a huge relief. If it were me, the pressure I would have put on myself to make sure that he did not retire without win number 2,000. We now find out that Ned Yost is retiring. So the manager of the Royals, he took over in 2010 and turned that organization into a winner. In addition to that, they won their first World Series title in three decades. Remember all the excitement over the back-to-back World Series appearances. And then they finally won. But he's leaving now. While his announcement came on an off day for the Royals, you can imagine that there's a twinge of sadness associated with it too, not only because he's leaving, but also because they are now wrapping up their second consecutive season in which they've lost at least 100 games. And that's a tough way to go out. But if his heart is not in it, it's such a long season. Baseball's so unique. And there are other sports seasons that last as long in terms of the calendar. So you think about the golf season, the tennis season, if the athletes choose to pursue it, there are multiple tournaments that they can play overseas at different times of the year, even when the majors are done. Same thing in golf. And then also the NASCAR season. It's extensive. It's so long. And there are many drivers and insiders in the sport that would love to see it shortened because of the toll it takes on the teams and the drivers and how long they are away and how often they have to travel. And so you do have other sports. MLS as well has a really long season. But in Major League Baseball, there are so many games. So it's 162 games. We're not talking about weekend appearances, right? We're not talking about only having to show up, say, Thursday through a Sunday. No, you're talking about every single day, night in, night out, having to spend at the ballpark. And so because of that, anything can and will happen. And I like the fact that it's unique. As I mentioned, it's the soundtrack of my summer, but it's also draining. And for a manager who feels like, he's put in his years, he's paid his dues, so to speak. Yost is 65 and he's been on a year-to-year contract, so he doesn't owe anything to the Royals after this. He's also retiring as the club's career wins leader with nearly 750 victories to his credit. But it takes so much out of you. And if you're not winning, it's even worse, right? So congratulations to Ned Yost on what has been an awesome career and also brought new life to the Royals franchise. And so let's see if they can find someone who can come in behind him and help to restore them to where they were competing for World Series not that long ago. And then also CC Sabathia, a name not just for the New York Yankees, but even going back to his days in Cleveland and his brief stint with Milwaukee when they were in the postseason. I don't remember the exact year, but there was a tribute to him at Yankee Stadium over the weekend as well that I thought was really moving and fitting. Just when we're talking about football and we're in the middle of week number three, it gets kind of crazy, right, to mix in some of the storylines from Major League Baseball and the other sports. So we will let you hear from CC Sabathia, and the question remains whether or not he will have a spot on the postseason roster, the active roster. Maybe with the Domingo Germán situation, he might, but we don't have the answers to that. So this could be the end of CC Sabathia if he's not on that active roster for the playoffs. A lot to be decided yet, but it's kind of cool to see it all come together as Tuesday is September 24th. We're so close to the end of the regular season. We have made it. It's a marathon, not a sprint. And then it's a sprint through October, baby. All right, you can find me on Twitter, A-Law Radio. What's your favorite thing about autumn? Maybe it is the baseball postseason. And also on our Facebook page, we'll get to some of your answers. 855-212-4227. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
Thanks so much for tuning in. If your favorite color is orange, you can be in my exclusive club. I do love orange. Now, I don't show any extra favoritism toward the teams that have orange in their uniforms, but I'm more likely to wear the garb from a particular team if it's a gift or if it happens to be some geographical connection with my family, since my family spread all over the country. I love to wear orange, and this time of the year as we head into fall full force, baby, I'm excited about a bunch of different orange colors that I have in my closet. I unfortunately pulled an orange shirt out that is the same as one that I wore in a video in the summer. And so I was planning on recording a special video for you, but it's going to have to wait until the hump show because I don't want you to think I only have one shirt. Although that would be fine as long as I wash the one shirt. The Houston Astros are sporting orange in their champagne locker room celebration. If you haven't seen the speech from A.J. Hinch, the Astros tweeted it, and After Hours CBS, we just retweeted it, so check that out. Pretty cool. And this is the time when you're allowed to celebrate. The Astros have worked hard. I do not mind champagne celebrations when you have worked this long and this hard to be able to secure a spot in division series without having to go through a wild card. To me, that's huge. So congratulations to our division winners, and we're excited about what the future holds. What are your favorite things about fall? Even if you don't live in a place where you get cooler temperatures, heck, I live in a place where we get cooler temperatures. Late last week, we had temps, at least in my neighborhood, down in the low 40s overnight. So I haven't had to pull my plants inside yet. In fact, my flowers are still blooming. But it went from being in the low 40s and me closing all my windows at night, because I like to have the fresh air with the zoo. So I had to close all the windows. I had two blankets on my bed. I love sleeping with blankets. And from that, it climbed into the upper 80s. Over the weekend. And so I was back wearing tank tops and shorts to walk the dog as opposed to, I actually wore a lightweight coat one morning last week to walk the dog. And Penny was so happy because she loves the cool weather. She suffered through a hot and humid summer and she's ready for it to be over. So she's overjoyed with the cool temps and then boom, right back into the upper 80s, which is crazy. But I guess it was the last official weekend of summer. So I play this game with myself. I want to know if anybody else does this or if it's just me. Do you guys wait, hold out as long as you can until you turn the heat on? I don't think I'm in a place anymore in my finances where I need to be worried about whether or not I turn the heater on. I do live mostly paycheck to paycheck, but I can at least afford to pay for my utilities. But I don't know what it is. Maybe it goes back to being a New Hampshire girl and needing to be tough. I prefer to have blankets on the bed. I like it to be cold when I sleep. And for some reason, I waited until the last possible second to turn on the heat. So generally, my rule of thumb, give or take a few degrees, when it drops below 60 in my house, okay, then I start thinking about turning on the heater. Right now, the lowest it's been in my house, even with some of our temps down in the 40s at night for a few days, the lowest temp it's been inside is 64. So I haven't yet gotten to the point where I need to turn on the heat. In fact, I had the air condition on over the weekend because it got so humid in the house that I needed to turn on the AC. So I do love the cooler sleeping weather, to be sure. And I like not having to have the air condition on, and I like having blankets, wearing sweaters, wearing sweatpants, and I love hats. So they're winter hats, but if it gets to be below 40 outside, I'll wear a hat, you know, a knit hat. I love to wear hats. I'm trying to think what else in terms of being at home that I love. Oh, I love to cook. And you all know I do chilies and soups and stews. But did you also know that pumpkin is a great ingredient for meals other than desserts? I have actually a pumpkin cookbook, and I make this incredible, now it's not my recipe, but it turns out really good, an incredible spicy pumpkin corn chowder. It's so good. It sounds weird, right? But pumpkin's not sweet. Pumpkin's a fruit that actually is relatively tart. And so it's really good when you put it in things like soups, or I actually have a recipe for a pumpkin ziti that I've never tried before, but I was thinking of trying it this fall. So I love to make all kinds of pumpkin dishes, not just pumpkin pie. And let's see what else. Pumpkin coffee I already have. I've cheated. I've had the pumpkin coffee for the last couple of weeks, even though it wasn't fall yet. So, you know, you can call me crazy if you like, but I bet there are others of you out there who also have the pumpkin coffee in your possession. Jason sends this note with a picture on Facebook. Our cat's name is Autumn. She's so cute, too. She has multiple colors, brown and white and black and a little bit of yellow in there. So she looks like she might blend with the leaves. I kid you not. Penny is the exact same color as a pile of leaves that I might rake. And so there are times during the fall where she blends in with the yard and I have to look really hard to find her. Let's see. Andy says on Facebook, the trees in Fairfax, Virginia are going to be absolutely beautiful when the leaves change in the fall. Craig says, living in northwestern Vermont, I would definitely say the best part of fall is the Green Mountains turning into the Rainbow Mountains. Yeah, the colors in the Northeast and really anywhere north. Wisconsin, same thing. My grandmother really loves it when all the leaves change colors. Craig lives in Vermont. I grew up in New Hampshire, but it's the White Mountains in New Hampshire and the Green Mountains in Vermont. And so you have mountain ranges, obviously, that go all the way up. And then you think about the Rockies and Colorado and some of the other mountain ranges in the United States, and they're beautiful. Billy says, love the fall here in Nova Scotia, Canada. Great colors. Love the temperature. Carl says, watching the colors change on the trees, knowing the caps are coming back and the cooler temperatures with winter soon to follow. Lots of you like the leaf peeping. That's awesome. Bill says, fall walleye fishing with the shores so colorful in Peterborough, Canada. Nick says, pumpkins. Uh-huh. You don't need to say much more than that. Pumpkins works for me. Jim on Facebook, hay rides, baseball playoffs, horror movies. That's not my jam. And apple cider. So that's awesome. Let's see. David says football and the leaves on the trees changing, and also Thanksgiving. Scott says hoodies and fires. We're going to assume he means bonfires, not like he's a pyro. But there's a neighbor that I have who has a fire pit, and they're out there almost every night during the fall. And they always tell me, you can come over and hang out with us. And I have to remind them that I am not going to hang out at a fire pit before I go to work. Let's see. Greg says, watching squirrels gather acorns. Joe says, fire pits and friends. Scott says, the cool night and the changing of the leaves. And Kevin says, college football, MLB playoffs, cooler temps, and the leaves. I love the fact that you guys are big into the leaf peeping. That's awesome. Dean says, football and cider mills. Brian wants to know, what does that have to do with sports? Apparently, Brian thinks we should stick to sports. He obviously doesn't pay very much attention to our show because our show is not all about sports. But that's a really good question. What does fall have to do with sports? Fall has to do with sports pretty much every single day because it's football, both NFL and college football, the baseball playoffs. Do you know October is the only month of the year when all four major team sports are in season? So it has everything to do with sports, smart aleck. Let's see. Alan says, taking my kids to the pumpkin patch. John says, the World Series. And let's see. A lot of you posting on football. Oh, Arthur says hockey season starts. So what is your favorite thing about fall on Facebook or on Twitter, A-Law Radio? Coming up next, we have got, I think, interesting comments from Tom Brady about the Patriots' release of Antonio Brown. So you hear what he has to say about it. That obviously happened on Friday before week three. Now Antonio Brown is re-enrolled in classes at Central Michigan. So maybe making good on his promise not to return to the football field. It's After Hours, CBS Sports Radio.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
First and 10 from the 25. The ball on the right hash. Izzo motions tight. Stands up on the right wing. Brady under center. Turns with a play fake to Michelle. Quick throw down the middle. Wide open door. Set at the 10. Right to the 5. Scooting in for the score. Touchdown, Patriots!
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
It's been quite the start for the Super Bowl champions. Not only are they 3-0, and they've got company. There are six other teams in the NFL that are still perfect and have not lost a game or sustained a tie on their record, and that includes the Buffalo Bills. So coming up this weekend, those are the two teams that will clash in the AFC East. It's kind of exciting to have it as part of the NFL on CBS doubleheader in week four. It's a full day of games, including the Bills defending their home turf against the Super Bowl champs, followed by the Vikings and the Bears in a key NFC North battle. I was giving you the numbers from the NFC North, the only division in which every team is above 500. It all begins with our team previewing the day's games on the NFL Today. That's noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on CBS. After Hours here on CBS Sports Radio and on Twitter and Facebook too, asking you your favorite things about fall. If you haven't yet voted for Monday MVP, by the way, that time is running out, and very soon we will introduce you to the candidates for Touchdown Tuesday, which is probably one of my favorite polls of the week. But the reason that we come in with a Tom Brady touchdown and another Patriots score, because they are scoring and defending at some kind of an incredible rate to start the season. And yes, they've played the Dolphins and they played the Jets and they played the Steelers, who collectively right now, if you look at their marks all together, the Jets, the Dolphins, and the Steelers have not one win among them. So the three teams the Patriots have played are a combined 0-9. That does, of course, include three losses to the Patriots. They're certainly catching teams at the right time, but you can only play the hand you're dealt. So this is the first week on the Patriots' schedule in which they will take on a team that actually has a win to its credit. But it's kind of nice that the defense is not only carrying its end of the weight or carrying its weight, but is holding up its end of the bargain and doing so in a way that Tom Brady really appreciates.
I like anything that makes my job easier. Certainly, the way they're playing is helping us a great deal. They're playing spectacular. I think fast starts are always so critical in the NFL. And when you play from ahead, it allows you to do so many different things. And the way our defense has played really all three games this season, when you think dating back to last year, it's been pretty spectacular performances.
Tom Brady, always Monday Night Football guest with Jim Gray on Westwood One Radio Network. And that was, of course, not the only thing they talked about. Jim Gray has a special rapport with Brady. We know this. He calls him scratchy, and Jim can get away with asking Brady questions that nobody else would get an answer to. And that includes asking him about the report out there that Brady disagreed with the decision to release Antonio Brown. I cannot tell you if that's the truth. I'm just telling you the report out there is that Tom Brady and Bob Kraft had a conversation and Brady disagreed with Kraft's choice to release Antonio Brown. He didn't like it. He didn't want the owner of the Patriots to release Brown.
Well, I think there's always reports and speculation about a lot of things that I have said or have not said or been a part of. the reality is I don't make any personnel decisions. I don't decide to sign players. I don't decide to trade them. I don't decide to release them. I don't decide to draft them. I don't get asked. I show up and I do my job. I'm an employee like everyone else. I'm going to show up this week and do the best I can do as quarterback. Maybe one day I will be an owner and I can make all the decisions that I want, but I would probably have to play another 20 years in the NFL to be able to afford that.
So what I mean, he tells Jim Gray things that he wouldn't tell anyone else. Tom Brady on Westwood One, and you heard him. He said, I don't make personnel decisions. I don't get asked. Well, that's interesting. Because, again, the report out there is that he and Bob Kraft had a conversation about Antonio Brown and what the team should do with him after all of those recent text messages surfaced to the second woman who had publicly told SI that she had, you know, been in a situation where Brown had kind of sexually harassed her.
So that was, you know, a private conversation that I wish, you know, had remained private. The things that I've certainly learned that are out of my control, I don't focus on those. I try to show up every day to do the best job that I can do, which is be a great leader for the football team, to embrace my teammates, the brotherhood that we have, the challenges that we face, and we try to overcome them and try to become the best team we could be. And every team is faced with different adversities. Some teams are 0-3 at this time. Our team has dealt with its fair share in a short period of time. And we're going to move forward and do the best we can do.
It sounds funny to hear Tom Brady talking about adversity. And the first time I heard him say that, I kind of chuckled. But then I realized that they've had their share, to be sure. I know that Josh Gordon's been reinstated. They had to decide whether or not to put him back on the roster. And obviously they have to keep very close watch on him. In addition to that, they want to support him and try to keep him as healthy as possible, both mentally and physically. Also, this whole Antonio Brown mess, what does Bill Belichick hate almost as much as losing? The distractions, the crazy distractions. And I had asked the question late last week, when is enough enough? And it was finally enough. The owner, Bob Kraft, was embarrassed, was done with Antonio Brown putting the team in the spotlight for some reason other than football. Not to mention, they had him on a zero tolerance policy, and he went ahead and sent intimidating and harassing text messages to this woman who was quoted in SI. But all of that happened in 11 days, which kind of blows me away. 11 days. At least with the frozen feet and the helmet saga, the Oakland Raiders preseason and training camp and him going after Mike Mayock and the social media crap. I mean, that played out over several months. 11 days! That's how long it took for him to burn this bridge with the New England Patriots. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Good stuff with Tom Brady, as always. Monday Night Football, I make a point to listen to it. I don't listen to many Tom Brady press conferences, to tell you the truth. He sounds a lot like Bill Belichick, although he doesn't have the death stare to go along with. But on Westwood One with Jim Gray, you get more meat from Tom Brady than you do at any other point. And I think that's great. It's great for us as sports fans. It's great for me in the media. And it's nice that Brady has someone that he can talk to that he trusts. I mean, if you could try to put yourself in the position of an athlete who everything he says and does is put under a microscope and twisted, very often taken out of context, people overreact to it. It's good that he's found someone in the media that he feels like he can talk to, and that's probably a relief to him. 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4CBS. That's our toll-free line brought to you by Geico with some great news. There's a quick way you can save money. Switch to Geico. Go to geico.com, and in 15 minutes, you could save 15% or more on your car insurance. Let's talk to Mary Ellen, who's in Virginia. Welcome to After Hours.
Hey, how you doing, Amy?
I'm good.
Just talking about what we like in the fall.
Mm-hmm.
You were talking about the Green Mountains and the White Mountains up in New England.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we've got the Blue Ridge Mountains in Virginia.
Mm-hmm.
So, I love the foliage and the changes. And I just like the smells of the fireplaces.
Yeah.
Like my, how that smells outside.
Uh-huh. I agree with that.
Oh, I love that. And just the crispness of the air.
Yes. When it's clear and it's not humid anymore. Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
Yes.
And seeing your breath, you know. I love and just like food, just like at the beach in the summer, food tastes better. And it's just like certain foods, you know, just like, you know, just tastes better. It seems like grilling outside is better.
Really?
Yeah.
I think food tastes good all the time, but
yeah,
what do
it does. And I'm just like hot chocolate and hot cider, apple cider.
Yep.
Is good. That's awesome. And just sports too. Sports is great because you got all the sports in there too. But just like art, it seems like fall baseball is better. I hate spring baseball because it's just nasty cold, but fall baseball is like, it's more gentle. It's not as bitter.
Yeah. It's a different kind of air for sure.
Yeah.
And it's more compelling. I mean, this time of the year, it's far more compelling.
Because,
good stuff.
You know, it's just drudgery in March. And it's just like the greatest in October.
Yeah, you're right. It's still maybe the same temperature, but the air is just different. Very often it's wet air and the kind of air that, or the kind of cold that stings your hands when you swing the bat and you connect. Yeah, Mary Ellen, good stuff. I appreciate it. Thanks so much for calling. 855-212-4227. Timothy has a new one on our Facebook page. Bird migration. Especially the crows. I don't know why he's singling out the crows. I do love the migration of the Canadian geese. That's always fun. When I worked at my previous network, we would have a migration. Now, we had some Canadian geese that stayed there in the pond that was there, but we had a bunch of them that would migrate. And they're, you know, if you have a pond anywhere on their way south, you'll often get a visit from them. And they may cover the entire pond or lake for the short period of time where they stick around. So the bird migration is kind of fun. Scott says hoodies for sure. And Dwan says the kids are back in school. You've got to love it. All right, coming up, this incredible gesture by Nelson Aguilar on CBS Sports Radio.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.